It's a Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It reduces your waste to ash in seconds. Not this program.
That's just bizarre.
The Incinolet. The world's foremost electric incinerating toilet.
Can I see a picture of it?
I love the idea that it's a problem that needs to be solved. Does your waste need to be incinerated? Look at that.
Oh.
You can incinerate lots of things in there. Cats.
Yeah, that just sounds kind of dangerous.
Yes, it does. All things that are fun also have an element of danger to incinerate. And the great thing is that everything here has a website, too. Websites, and for a demographic that you know couldn't possibly find the website, if you would like to be looking this up at home, incidentally, you can look up the Incinolet, the world's premier incinerating toilet. Doesn't that seem like that's an accident just waiting to happen, though? In one moment, it's come back, it's one buttock just mysteriously gone. Incinolet.com, Incinolet.com, Incinolet.com. Just so you know, it is, quote, simply the best electric incinerating toilet.
Sorry, they're towing my car right now.
What?
From
where?
The damn insurance company never... They're from the insurance company? Okay.
What car?
My car that's been... That girl totaled.
Oh, the Saturn?
Yeah. Yeah, my mom, that'd be great. Okay, sorry.
Are they supposed to be towing it?
I called them. They were supposed to tow it 3 months ago.
Oh.
But I don't know if this is the city.
Johnny on the spot.
Hello?
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
For the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
And follow the stars of the 80s sitcom Different Folks will be chronicled in a new TV movie for your holiday viewing pleasure.
Okay.
NBC presents Behind the Camera, Different Strokes, following the off-the-set woes of the star's three young actors. Tom Bridges, who played Willis Jackson on the series, says their backgrounds and not Different Strokes were to be blamed for their struggles.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know there was sound here. No, this is completely my fault. I was all obsessed with the travails of Sarah's car. Mm-hmm. Bum, ba, bum, bum. All right, this is, hey. Would you please introduce this?
Yes, this is Todd Bridges.
Oh, you know, Curtis, it's just, that's how it is, you know. It was kids with very racially diverse backgrounds, and backgrounds that were just, you know, all messed up. It made us realize that we couldn't do our job efficiently because we had so many problems.
Oh, he doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
The years have not been kind to him. He's sort of an artificially accelerated Johnny Drama. Like when you see in a laboratory where they'll take some sort of a food product or a dead creature of some kind and they'll artificially accelerate like 1,000 years just so you can see it decay in like a day and a half. That's kind of what... How old is Todd Bridges, do you suppose? Because he must have been...
Oh, I'm not sure.
God, did Different Strokes start in, what, like 78? Something like that? 79? Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's...
Prison age or civilian age?
I think he was just juvie center age when it started. It is like the rings of a tree. You can really track how old they were by where they were incarcerated at different points in their career. Well, he's got to be, I mean, let's say he's 15 when it starts. It's almost 30, so he's 45. He sounds a lot older than 45, though.
Oh, you know, Curtis, he's just... That's how
it is. Curtis is.
It was kids with very racially diverse backgrounds and backgrounds that were just, you know, all messed up. It made us realize that we couldn't do our job efficiently because we had so many problems.
What is he talking about in this clip?
He's their own backgrounds are to blame for their struggles. He also says he and Gary Coleman wanted to be involved with the TV movie so the truth would finally be told.
Truth. So he will have another place to live for a month.
We decided to be script consultants to help them.
Oh, imagine having to hire Todd Bridges and work at the desk next to him. Just every day waiting for the shiny metallic glint of the gun as it gets pointed at your face.
We decided to be script consultants to help them consult the script so that we would have what we needed for the script. Which was great. You know, we wanted to tell our story.
Also, I need some coupons for the 7-Eleven.
I guess you're fine as long as you're wearing Mylars.
Yes, really, as long as you have your escape route from the office all planned out, working with, now you can have rich, dark compost in just 14 days. This man, the compost tumbler, located in, all right, Sarah, how would you, How would you pronounce this city? Now, look, this, I don't believe you're appreciating the comic grist that the 2007 Old Farmer's Almanac really has. Let's see. So they're advertising here. Why wait 10 months? Now you can have rich, dark compost in just four. It's apparently the compost is not only rich and dark, it is crumbly. So, crumbly compost.
Is it supposed to be crumbly?
Well, I don't know. Let's how would you pronounce this city in Pennsylvania?
Punxsutawney.
Would you pronounce that Lititz?
Lititz?
Lititz.
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 L-I-T-I-T-Z.
Lititz.
Lititz. Mm. Well, whatever. That's in Lancaster, not Lancaster, but Lancaster. Oh, that's Amish country.
Yeah.
That's totally where that is. Lancaster, Pennsylvania is Amish country there.
Hmm.
That's, yeah, I have a friend of mine from there. All right, so there you go. Well, you all don't know the composting. You all don't know composting rituals. You're not people of the land. All right. And now another toilet aid. All right, here, I'm sorry. Here's back to Tim Riley. Let's get back to Todd Bridges or whatever it is we're talking about.
Well, hi, sports fans. The NFL has officially banned stadiums from playing Gary Glitter's Rock and Roll Part 2.
I predicted this like 3 months ago. I said that was going to happen.
The Denver Broncos have switched to Big Bad Voodoo Daddy's Go Daddy O. Kansas Chiefs fans voted for Pod's Boom.
For what?
Pod's Boom.
Pod's Boom. Pod's Boom sounds like some sort of an herb that like a magician would use in a Harry Potter book. I need one quart of Pod's Boom and a toad's thing. I predicted this like 3 months ago that Gary Glitter would, they would no longer because, of course, he's a child guy. I think he doesn't actually. Is it a child? Sex with children is just porn. No, it was underage hookers, wasn't it? In Vietnam.
Yes.
Which is the wrong place. I understand that the Asian cultures are sometimes viewed as being very laissez-faire when it comes to Americans going there and sort of engaging in the child sex trade. Mm-hmm. But they have this bizarre, there is this weird, there's this weird dichotomy there in like Thailand or apparently in Vietnam, where on the one hand, these perverts who go over there because, again, you can get hookers who are very young and they turn a blind eye in some way. But doesn't it seem on the other hand that there's a lot of, I'm going to say overcompensating because it's a hideous crime. But on the other hand, when they do catch you, I mean, it's not fooling around. Like when didn't they say in Vietnam that they could execute him if he was found guilty? So it just seems like it.
Put him in a pit and stab him with sticks.
Yeah, those guys are just punchy sticks. And yeah, those guys are just really dumb, which I guess is fortunate for all of us. But every time Rock and Roll Part 2 got played on a televised NFL game, that guy was making money. So I totally predicted that. Scotty, who is this online? Is Scotty even in that room? Is he gone today? Really, I think today there are more times that the phone has just rung and not been answered than there are times.
And
that
this isn't the time Scotty J should be slacking. This is decision making time.
Scotty J is really. We're coming up on the end of the month, which could be the end of other things as well, depending on how one functions.
Well, he does have an opportunity coming up next Friday to do something different.
Which is what?
He may very well be sitting in this chair.
What chair?
This one.
Why?
I will not be here.
Well, okay, no, I'm aware of that. Now, this is, we talked about this yesterday, that you were going to be out of town next Friday. Right. But, now, it's, let me ask you this, Tim Riley. Is Scotty J your first choice?
Yes.
To read the news
by
in your
all
absence?
Means.
Okay. No,
well,
that does,
Scotty J and Tim have worked together. You did a TV thing together, didn't you?
That does seem like a canny choice.
Well, kind of. Scotty went out and bought an iron, but that is TV work behind the scenes.
Is this sort of like when the Carson would go on vacation and he would get someone just really tedious to take his place?
He's my Joan Rivers.
Yes.
Tim's a good one because he's
lowballing it.
Yep.
Well, yeah, because
I think Scotty's going to do a respectable job.
Okay, well, if by respectable you mean highlighting all the wonderful ways in which you are flawless, yes, yes, I'm sure that will be the case.
So since we've been talking about the spelling and the reading, how well do you think Scotty reads out loud?
I'm guessing badly.
I bet he does a fantastic job and is practicing as we speak.
Tim really wants to stay off.
Maybe we should canvass the audience next week. We'll find somebody.
Oh, man, that's going
to
be funny.
Maybe we could find some sort of a trained parrot to come in to do the news.
By the way, I don't have to take off next week because my court date was moved again.
Again?
Yeah, the lawyers keep saying they're not ready, so she's hoping that I'm, going to forget about it and not press charges.
We won't let you forget about it.
Oh, I won't.
All right. Let's see. Here's Tim Riley.
And Scotty just didn't buy an iron. He was a production assistant. That's
okay, I'm going to find out where he is. Hold on a second. Because this...
Johnny J. Hello. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just gone.
Yes, he's just because now we can say this because he's not here. We went over. We went into Scotty J's little screening room a while back, the room where he's sort of cave where he sits and screens the calls and does the whatever. And there was a lunch list from, among other people, Smokey, who works next door at KUPL, a station, and a person completely unrelated to Scotty J or any of his tasks. And so he's apparently being made to get lunch for people at other radio stations.
Well, Smokey lets him look through his window.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, we'll figure it. Let's see. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Rick, it's George from Wilson. How are you doing?
Wait, hold on. I see. This is why we need a screener, because I don't know when we need something.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
All right, thank you, sir. What's up?
Rick, the single best phrase I ever heard on the radio was the catch and release of the human trout that hit Sarah's car. That was genius. You remember that?
No, not at all.
It came out of your very lips.
You know, there's a lot of things that... There's a lot of things I say that I don't really remember the context of, or in fact remember. There's this woman, we've talked about her, she has the best name ever, Marianne Rambo,
mm-hmm.
one of our listeners. Marianne Rambo, sometimes at the end of the program, she will send me a list of phrases that have been uttered during that day's program that she feels are humorous or otherwise worthy of being noted. And I swear to God, they're all great. And then that is not to be about the glory of us, but apparently we say some funny things. But you know what? I look at the list and I don't remember saying any of them.
That's what caffeineism does to you, I'm afraid.
I think we're just dumb, or me anyway. I got no retention. Like, here's a good example of this. There's a promo that currently runs on this radio station where I am talking about Sarah and something Sarah said. Do you have Sarah? Can you go into the promo folder, the promo tab here? And find the promo where I'm talking about the stuff that comes out of Sarah's mouth.
Oh, yeah, that one played this morning.
That one played. It's if you look in the promo tab, it should be labeled Emerson Sarah's Mouth or Emerson Sarah Speaks or something like that. If you can, you locate that. George, I want you to stay on hold. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. In the meantime, Tim, is this next story of sound?
Not for a few minutes.
Okay, well, do you have it? Well, let's do another story, and then we'll play this promo here in a second. We'll talk about it.
All right. Let's do the Bushwatch.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is your Bushwatch for this Friday.
Resident is kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Laugh his heart. That's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name.
Bada bing.
Hey, what's that there?
Ooh.
It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House.
Back to the moon.
That's my Bush.
It's so good to be back in voice. I wasn't able to sing along with anything. And it's warm in here, by the way. Have you noticed that it's no longer frigid? All right. I went and nagged Mountain Man Will. Who's one of the engineers
going on
over
with
there.
That?
He and Chris Barrett, who's another one of the engineers, they're having a beard off.
That's after their dance off?
after they get angel flight pants and matching satin jackets. Yes, they're both growing beards, and they're... I think they've just decided it's easier just to do the full-on, never, don't trim, don't cut, don't shave, don't whatever, just get the full-on neck and the face and the hair and just let it all go. Sort of a swamp thing, kind of a beard. Here's Jim Riley.
U.S. military leaders in Baghdad have put out a call for a public relations firm to make $20 million a year with extensive monitoring of U.S. and Middle East media in an effort to promote more positive images of what we do in Iraq. The contract calls for assembling a database of selected news stories and assessing their tone as part of a program to provide public relations products that will improve coverage of the military's command performance, according to a statement attached to this proposal. The goal is to develop communication strategies, identify opportunities, and execute events to effectively communicate Iraqi government and coalition goals and build support among our strategic audiences, such as the New York Post, the New York Times, and the LA Times.
Well, I'm sorry, the government is hiring a PR firm to manage the war?
Yes.
You know, at a certain point, I was thinking about...
$20 million.
Jesus. I was thinking... I guess, Wyden Kennedy. I was thinking about this. That's not where Delana... That's not where Delane worked, was it? Where did Delane work?
She's worked at a bunch of... She works for Wyden... Not Wyden Kennedy.
Not Wyden Kennedy. That's the Nike place.
Wagner Edstrom.
Well, there you go. I mean, they're tossing their hat in the ring today.
Is that...
Well, somebody, I mean, I guess it's up for anybody, right? It's whoever wants to stage manage the war. I was thinking about this the other day. If you look at my, I got this in the mail the other day. I went on eBay, and I found, I've been looking for one of these for the longest time on eBay, and I finally found one. And it is an original 1976 lobby poster for the movie Network, which is one of my favorite films of all time, probably second only to Glengarry Glen Ross. And sometimes I do think it is my favorite film. And it's beat up, you know, it's kind of wrinkled, and it's folded. You can tell it was shoved in some guy's attic for 30 years. But it's not a reproduction, it's not a reprint, it's an actual poster that hung in a movie theater lobby for the movie Network. Somebody asked me the other day, like, oh, what movie is that? And I said, oh, it's the movie Network, you know, winner of 4 Academy Awards. And they didn't know what it was, and I was trying to explain that it's a satire about television and so forth. But the thing is, you go back and you look at all those satires, and I know that I'm like the 50th person to make this observation, but it's just like they can't keep pace with reality, because you think about that Wag the Dog movie, and that's exactly what this is, right? They're looking, I mean, it sounds retarded and insane that they're looking for a PR firm to handle their coverage of the Iraq war.
Well, most people will believe it if it's presented in a positive manner.
Seriously. It's just like you just keep picturing that thing where the girl's holding the bag of flour and then they paste in the baby or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what happens when you don't have somebody handling this. A story like this. Death squads and terrorists have vent up attacks on civilians, killing more than 1,600 people in cold blood, execution style, in July alone.
Yeah, see, Americans don't want to hear news like that. Americans want to hear about how we've planted a garden somewhere and there's a school that's, teaching Christian values.
But the report concluded that current violence is not a civil war, and movement towards civil war can be prevented. It takes brave families to do so.
Yes.
The Baghdad coroner's office reports 1,600 bodies arrived in June and more than 1,800 in July, 90% of which were assessed to be the result of executions.
Jesus.
So today, 44 people died and at least 255 others wounded in 5 attacks using rockets in mostly Shiite neighborhoods of northern Baghdad. Then a car bomb killed 2 people and injured 13 at a gas station. You can't even get gas there anymore.
Well, you heard Bob Costantini. We were talking to Bob Costantini earlier. That thing when I said, let's talk about this retarded Pentagon report. And again, not like I'm some genius, but I mean, clearly there is a civil war going on, whether they'll admit
it or not.
No, but I said, well, this Pentagon report claims that we are moving toward a civil war. And Bob, and I think he was being ironic, though. I think he was sort of repeating the talking points with a little tinge of wry humor. I think he was being a little ironic when he did, but he said, well, I suppose that depends on how one defines the rather flexible term of civil war, which, I mean, clearly that's just one of those where they're never going to admit that's what's happening. All right, so this is, do we have that promo?
Yeah.
All right. We were talking about how we say things, and then we can never remember what the hell, like, when we said them or what they were about. This is a promo that's currently running on the radio station.
If you haven't heard the Rick Emerson Show lately, if you haven't heard this.
Yeah. I think we got to start charging for some sort of special version of this program where we don't cut away during commercial breaks.
Yeah,
this
is it.
Hear the crap that comes out of Sarah's mouth?
I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying. Okay,
this is a totally true story,
too. Here's a phrase that just came out of Sarah's mouth, referring to someone who shall not be named ever. A male person. A person of the male gender who in no way will be named or identified. Sarah said, I believe he wants to be my special friend because... No, because... Hold on, I gotta get through this. Sarah said, I believe he wants to be my special friend because... I have the bad girl vibe that he craves.
Oh,
all right, there you go.
I didn't.
You clearly
that.
Did because, and here's how we
I
know that you
I
really said that.
I say that.
Here's how we know you really
I,
said it.
I was joking.
Because I hadn't even revealed that. I just said, Sarah just said, and then you laughed with recognition in the background of what I was about to say. Like, you clearly knew where I was headed. But here's the thing. I have no idea now who you were talking about.
I don't either. I have no idea.
But clearly there is somebody out there who you believe is attracted to your bad girl vibe. He craves, in fact, your bad girl vibe. I mean, I suppose it could be many hundreds of people. But there was a specific person you were talking about, and I cannot for the damn life of me remember who it was. Who was it? Can you reveal it now?
No, I don't remember. I think it might have been like a sales guy.
Well, that's almost certainly true, but I don't know if that's who we were talking about at that point.
I don't know.
All right. If you crave Sarah's bad girl vibe...
Okay.
Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Meanwhile, I sound like...
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to get rid of... I'm sorry. George, I forgot you were there.
You got to get rid of me, huh?
Yeah, you may go now.
Definitely. Wait, I have one thing to say to Sarah.
Yes, sir.
Vis-a-vis the human trout that hit her car.
Yeah.
As Commander Taggart would say, never give up, never surrender, Sarah.
I will not.
Nail her to the wall.
I will.
Thank you. And also, Rick... If you talk about compost, can't you talk about Notorious MSG, my friend?
Notorious MSG. People keep sending me... What the hell is... Okay, thank you. All right, I got to go. Thank you. Here's why I had to go. Notorious MSG is this rap guy that they keep sending me the MySpace page of. Did I ever play that retarded rapper?
No.
No.
Somebody sent me this.
No, that was bad, though.
It was a lot of, you know. I mean, like, really not dumb. I mean, literally, like, retarded rapping. It's just this. It's like a
disabled.
No, but this guy he's talking about, it's like a very Asian rapper with a very pronounced Asian accent and so forth. And he's called Notorious MSG. It's all very wacky. I'm not going to play it. Here's Tim Riley.
Yes. Meanwhile, back to this. The president says democracy is stabilizing the Middle East.
Okay. Number three. Promoting democracy is the surest way to build security.
Strength or faith.
Democracies don't attack each other or threaten the peace.
Threaten the peace? That's creepy.
Meanwhile, Britain's Channel 4 plans to broadcast a dramatic documentary-style film about the assassination of President Bush.
Man, they're getting more ink on that. That is a smart move. And again, when I say smart move, I mean this is a smart
idea for a motion picture.
Smart idea for a motion picture and a smart public relations move for a fictional film. We, of course, wish George W. Bush and all elected officials, federal and otherwise, a long and safe life, free from harm or any sort of physical impairment. I'm simply saying in terms of a film, this is a shrewd marketing campaign that's gotten them a lot of press, where they stage the fictitious assassination of our president, George W. Bush.
Right. The program uses actors and digital manipulation of real footage to show a fictional account of the president being gunned down after delivering a speech in Chicago. It's also screening at the Toronto Film Festival. The producers expect the film would upset some, but defending it as a sophisticated piece of work. Meanwhile, Tom DeLay is getting ready to tell his story. He has worked out a deal to publish his life story, including the tales of his career and how it furthered the conservative cause. And it'll be available next week. Meanwhile, what's Al Gore up to, you ask?
I can't tell you. Look, I'm a political junkie with the best of them. I cannot tell you how little I care about whatever Tom DeLay has to say at this point. The better we forget about that.
It'll end up at 99 cents.
Did you ever, totally, in the remainder, did you ever hear, see that there's somebody who has a supposed best-selling book, and you realize that you don't ever remember ever even seeing it on sale somewhere?
No.
Like, I think books just come off the press now saying New York Times bestseller. Latest case in point, I don't know if you watch the show, or I don't anymore, but that Carolyn woman who was Donald Trump's sidekick on The Apprentice, and the big irony is that she's been fired. But she's written some book, you know, and it's like Carol's Guide to Life or whatever. So, hey, we got to go buy a copy of that Britney Spears book that's selling for 99 cents. Somebody buy that for us. I don't feel bad asking, but it's 99 cents. Buy it and I'll give you a buck. I'm too lazy to go to the store, pick up a copy and bring it by, and I'll get it. I just want to know what's in a Britney Spears book. And 99 cents, you know what it is? It's all about finding the price at which your buying instinct kicks in. And for me, with Britney Spears, it's 99 cents. Sold. You find that, I'll give you a buck. You just bring it on in. Here's Tim Riley.
Vice President Al Gore jokes about why he showed up at the MTV Video Music Awards last night.
I actually was not planning on being here tonight. But then MTV explained to me that Justin Timberlake is bringing sexy back, so here I am.
Oh, God.
Yes.
All right. No. Okay, go ahead.
Well, here comes the part you've been waiting for. Yeah. He talks about the dangers of global warming and what it means to the MTV generation.
Our Earth is getting warmer and dramatic changes are taking place. Glaciers and ice caps are melting. Animal species are going extinct. Storms are getting stronger and deadlier. Our planet is in trouble. Many of you already know this and have long since been connecting the dots. In the latest MTV poll, for the very first time, the environment was the number one response when you were asked, what is the biggest problem your generation will face?
No one cares.
So apparently there was some award show on last night. Nobody cared about it.
Just wondering if Beyonce is going to fall out of her dress. Did anybody watch the VMAs last night?
No.
Nope.
And see, you are still sort of in the target demo. Not really. Isn't
not
23?
Anymore. I don't care anymore.
Is it not about MTV or not about the VMAs?
I guess not about MTV. I was really sucked into
VH1.
Yeah.
Well, you're in that awkward age, though. You're probably too young for VH1
classics.
It's true.
Well, I used to love watching like Laguna Beach and all those MTV shows, and now they're I can't even handle them anymore.
You'll be back when you're a 30-something married woman.
Oh.
Sorry, honey. it's true. What are you going to do? Lara drifted away from MTV, and now she's back just watching Sweet 16. I didn't watch the VMAs last night. I realized the other night that I don't watch MTV. How do I put this? I don't watch MTV to try to stay hip because I'm not hip, and I'm not enough. I've long since passed the point of being hip. It's not going to work. I am kind of just a fan of pop culture, and so I will just sort of have it on sometimes. I used to just have it on, and I just sort of see what was going on. But, man, I've just reached the point where I just don't even care. It's like the amount of irritation and pain and suffering it causes me to watch MTV, it's not worth whatever cultural literacy I get from it. It's just the ratio is just so skewed. So I didn't watch the VMAs last night. Even with Jack Black hosting, I didn't watch. And, man, I read the reviews, and the reviews were scathing. The reviews said it was like the worst VMAs ever. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, here we go. One snoozer of a show says...
Tim has everything in that pile.
Says Nikesa Mumby. I'm sorry, Nikesi Mumby Moody.
It must be an intern. They changed that name.
Says Ricky Tiki Tembo from...
Booba Shabayev.
There you go, thank you. Despite Shakira's ever-gyrating hips, that sounds like a condition. She can't turn it off. Justin Timberlake's sexy back and the obscured image of a naked midget. I'm done.
I don't even care.
Let's take a break.
It's all just manufactured foolishness.
That's what I'm talking about. Rick. Oh, never mind. I'll read this when I get back. Something about pressing meat. You stay there. Be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Portland, coming up around the corner. CNN radio correspondent. Now, this was music. Whatever happened to the run to the D to the M to the C? Yeah. Gary Bobthorn coming up. Jim Roop on the way. Scott Daly. Eric Durant. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 970 Southern State Radio. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. In just a moment, Gary Baumgarten will be joining us. He does indeed bust the most rhymes in New York State, just in case anybody should ask. 503-733-2970. Rick. Here's something we apparently said on the air yesterday. And see, again, I don't really remember saying this. Rick is from Richard. The best phrase from yesterday's program is the following. There you are. This is a quote. Quote, there you are, pressing the meat into the bottom of the bowl with the force of an angry god. End quote. Yeah, I don't remember that at all. How about this? Here's the best phrase from Tuesday. Quote, and this is from you, by the way, Sarah, I'm almost positive. How did it go from child beating to cow humping? End quote. That's Sarah. Because you were talking
Clyde's
about that
movie. Yeah.
You were talking about that film, which Clyde, by the way, Clyde accosted me. Accosted is the wrong word, because he was all happy about it.
Okay, Clyde, yeah, I was going to say, when would Clyde, any promotion any, Clyde like?
That's what I'm saying. In Clyde's world, any mention is a good mention. Clyde came up to me Tuesday at Dante's for the rock star viewing, and he's just like, I heard you were talking about Cajun Box Elder. And I said, yeah, I was talking about that scene where your character had an unnatural relationship with a cow, and he's like, right on, and like high-fived me, and then like slammed down some whiskey.
God, that's why I like that guy.
Yeah, Clyde just doesn't care, man.
Clyde's just good-natured.
Clyde's going to be in Monday, by the way. Clyde will be here as part of our annual Labor Day show. Let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Radio Program, CNN radio correspondent and living deity.
Are we still together?
Yes, wait, hold on with this.
You listening to me laugh?
Yes, in fact, we're just going to just add it to the stable. There you go. Gary Baumgarten in New York City. How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
How's life?
Hardly a deity, but thank you anyway.
No. Well, a semi-Christ, perhaps. That's it. How's life in the big city, my friend?
We're getting ready for a Tropical Depression Ernesto's visit.
I don't know. What is it? I don't mean to turn this into a whole weather thing, but what is a tropical depression?
I guess it's when a hurricane... slows down below 72 miles an hour and becomes a tropical storm. And then if it slows down lower than that in terms of its sustained wind speed, it becomes the tropical depression.
At a certain point, it's just wind, though, right? Like, it's just at a certain point, the wind is
like
blowing.
What we do, you know, a lot of hot wind.
You guys are, you guys are tough, though, in New York. You guys have, it seems like it would take more than wind and rain and whatnot to it.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are ironclad in that city.
Yeah, pretty much, I think, yeah.
You guys, now, I know that Ray Nagin, who is, of course, the mayor of New Orleans, he's going on this tour of New York. There seems to be this thing in politics that happens. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but maybe I just notice it when it happens, but I think it is sort of a known phenomenon that there is always a cause and effect, a before and after in politics, and here's what it is. A politician will get into a very public dust-up with somebody, or conflict, or fight, or whatever, and then what happened? Within 72 hours, they're having dinner, or they're like seeing opera together or something at Kennedy Center, and like smiling and seeing, joking with each other, and holding hands in front of the camera.
Right.
And that's what happened with Ray Nagin and George W. Bush after the hurricane last year, where he got on the radio. Ray Nagin got on the radio and said, like, you know, he said something like, "This is pissing me off," or something, or, "Where the hell are these people?" or something like that. And he called out George W. Bush. Next thing you know, they're like strolling arm in arm and with parasols.
Ray Nagin tends to, for a politician more so than most, put his mountain gear before he engages his brain. That's his problem.
I kind of dig the guy, just, I mean, only because he's sort of entertaining. He's
very entertaining.
He does sort of seem to give you a lot of material. Well, he said this thing about New York City where he said, defend is the wrong word, but I did agree with some of what he said to a certain extent, where he said, in response to criticism about not rebuilding New Orleans, he said, well, you know what? He said they got in New York, they got the big hole in the ground, referring to the World Trade Center site. He's like, it's been 5 years. When are they going to fill that thing? Get off my back.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, New Orleans is a huge, huge city that took 300 years to build, as opposed to the World Trade Center area, the so-called hole in the ground, which is like 30 blocks or whatever. But it does raise this interesting point that didn't we see blueprints like 4 years ago for some Freedom Tower or some 1776 tower, something they were going to be building there?
The problem is not that Ray Nagin is wrong. The problem is that it was an impolite thing for the mayor of one city to say about another.
I think it's true. He does. Do you suppose he's just sort of invested now in his own public image and he feels like he's got to constantly be saying something edgy?
I don't know. All I know is now he's in New York City in the virtual shadow, well, where the shadow of the World Trade Center once stood, literally, pumping flesh in an attempt to get investment money, you know, placed into New Orleans after a week ago dissing New York City.
Right, right.
That's not smart politics.
No
matter how accurate the assessment he has is, and I think New Yorkers feel like, you know, we could talk about the fact that it took about a year to build the Empire State Building, and it's taking forever to rebuild Ground Zero. But don't you come from the outside and, you know, lay that on us. That's something for us to discuss internally. I think that's pretty much how New Yorkers view it.
Well, it seems like New York is probably the wrong city for that guy to pick on because, you know, again, as you said, New York has a very proprietary sense about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, just as somebody, and Sarah and I were talking about this the other day about how we're both big fans of New York, and just as a guy who doesn't live there, who plans to go there, you know, again, probably sometime within the next year or so, just to kind of see it, because I dig that place. What is going to happen? If I go to the World Trade Center area a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, what's it going to look like? What are they going to do with that, and when?
I think you'll start to see the first towers beginning to rise from the ashes. But the point is, this should have been done a long time ago.
Right.
You know, the politicians are fighting over this and that. You know, it's real interesting is that immediately after 9/11, we were all so solidly together here.
Sure.
So much so that they rebuilt the West Side Highway that ran between Battery Park City and the World Trade Center in record time because it was felt that this was important toward the rebuilding of Lower Manhattan. They allowed for people to move back in at a time when there were still a lot of toxins in the air because they were in such a hurry to rebuild Lower Manhattan.
Right.
And it's still, as Nagin said, pretty much a hole in the ground now. And there's a degree of frustration that's being expressed by people here in New York City. There's no question about it.
Is it
not that he's not reflective of the frustration of the...
Well, it's kind of like a nobody hits my sister but me kind of
exactly.
Thing. Is that going to be an office building? I mean, are people going to be working in whatever they put on the old...
Actually, the first building is opening September... I'm going to say 18th, something like that. Near the end of September, the first building is opening.
Would you work there if they built a brand new tower?
I
right
want to work there.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be morbid. It's just one of those things you wonder about. Because you wonder, A, right. If it's just got a bad vibe and a weird energy, and B, you got to wonder if there's some nutcase terrorist out there that mm-hmm. figures like it's an invitation to knock it down again.
Mm-hmm.
It's freaky stuff. All right. Hey, I got to tell you, that World Trade Center movie, real quickly, is that even still playing here, Sarah, or did it? That World Trade Center movie, I'm actually interested to see it now because we had some really strong reviews of it, but man, it was like it was out and then gone. It did seem to have a quick fall off. And I'm curious to know what it's going to do, what its shelf life is going to be, because now you spoke very effusively of it.
Right. Well, it'll be very interesting to see what kind of, you know, it may be the kind of movie that people feel more comfortable watching on DVD at home because of the emotions that it evokes.
Probably. And it isn't a huge screen where you can't get away from it and everything.
Right.
So.
And you got, you know, a lot of people don't want to, like, frankly, lose it in public.
It is very, very true. All right, my friend, enjoy your weekend. We will talk to you soon. It is always a pleasure, Gary.
Have a great Labor Day weekend.
Thank you, sir. There you go. Gary Baumgarten from New York City. There you go.
Oh, yeah, normal people have a three-day weekend. No thanks.
Yes, they're called weak people. All right. They're called non-achievers, Sarah, and America can't. It's 503-733-2970. You get that wistful, faraway look in your eyes. Somebody asked me in the hallway the other day, like, so you working on Monday? I said, yeah, we're, you know, it's kind of our thing. You
as
know?
Long as you know, as long as you give me Thanksgiving and Christmas, I'm always happy.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it?
And you want to work every holiday.
Well, that's the thing, is it's
but
more...
But I'm glad you understand that they're important to me for my family.
And I don't say this for purposes of self-aggrandizement. I'm saying it is more of a me thing sometimes than an everybody on the show thing. Because I'm a loser. Because the show is my sole existence and I have no outside interests or friends. So really, this is it, kids. It's either this or just running a hose into the car window. So here I am. But anyway, so Smokey, I think it was, he was like, well, why are you working on Monday? I can't do Smokey's voice. The only thing I can do, Smokey from Couple, is he does that laugh on the air, which is a little unnerving. Sort of sounds like a guy who's brandishing a sword in front of you. But the observation I made is that I, which is glib, it's sort of a glib response that makes the question go away, but it's also true, which is that I feel like me, I'm saying for me now personally, I had a lot of goddamn time off last year. I have my fill of time off for a while. I had like 8 months, 9 months. It was 9 months, wasn't it? No, it was
like 11.
11 months off. Yeah, so F that. Yeah, I've had my fill of sitting at home.
Well, I still love my family. I want to visit them.
I see, and this doesn't matter. I don't care. I care about your family really more than I care about mine. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley's at the City Desk.
A pickup trick, Wilson.
Oh, we got to bring back the jar. Except okay. It would be me all the time because I'm always... Well, because it's right here.
So I'll turn it on or I'll forget to, or else you'll turn it off.
Well, the mic button is right here where I bang my left fist for emphasis. And then I'm always turning his microphone off. Here's Tim Riley.
An Eastern Oregon man recovering from a freak accident that could have killed him. 64-year-old Ted Vanderford was cleaning his pickup truck over the weekend. He leaned inside the passenger window to clean out the ashtray and knocked the vehicle into gear.
Bam!
Oh.
The truck started rolling backward, and Vanderford tried to pull on the emergency brake, but then he tripped on the curb, and his foot was swept under the tire, and the rest of his body followed.
Oh.
So, he decided he was going to do one big last breath as the tire rolled over his head.
Oh, God.
The doctors say this one big last breath saved his life. As for his head, the tire left tread marks on one side, and the pavement left a skid mark on the other. But he only needed surgery for crushed bones in his right foot.
Damn. Huh.
So maybe he has like a head like Jerry Lewis.
No, he'd have a head like... Who has a
John Travolta?
I was going to say, or that guy who played Eddie Haskell. He had kind of a strange head. Rick, Delonda sounds like Tammy Faye Baker. I'm amazed that no one has pointed. That's completely true. Surprised that no one has pointed this out. Plus, are you sending yourself Viso in the mail so that you're never out? We got to thank our good friends at Viso. They dropped off some cases of that. which I shouldn't say because everybody's going to come and pilfer it.
No, we've hidden it.
Well, I've hidden it. It's in my office.
A hole in the floorboards.
No, it's... I mean, before it was in the fridge here. It was in the Viso refrigerator. And now we put a few in there at a time. Because, and I'm not advocating this, but I do understand the mindset that says perhaps people here who work here say, well, this is, you know, it's an air studio. I'm on an air staff somewhere in this company. I'll go in and get myself a Viso. I am entitled. It's now in my office. And so if it vanishes from my office, that, that I'll officially be able to, we'll be able to crack down. Let's see. What else do we have here? This is all Delana stuff.
Oh, has anyone submitted any songs yet?
Oh, yes. We get one. We already got one. We have this contest. Up on the website, what we're asking you to do is to take the Delana sound clip and to work it into some sort of a some sort of an audio composition. And we've already gotten one of them, so we'll get to that. Rick, love the show. I'm wondering, what about the why the hype with the upcoming Katie Couric on CBS News?
Oh, we have more coming up.
Yeah, we're promoting that.
We have
non-stop.
Like 100 times a day. The CBS News with Katie Couric starts September 4th or whatever the hell it is, Tuesday. Who starts something on a Tuesday? Kind of retarded idea was that. I guess they didn't want to start it September 11th, but on the other hand, because, and I don't mean to sound flip, September 11th's coming up, but there's a whole lot of don't want to talk about it in the air, I think.
My friend Amanda's traveling, she's going to go to Guatemala, I think, and she got the most ridiculously cheap airline ticket because she's flying out on September 11th.
I never thought about
that.
Yeah,
I never thought about that either. So since she's flying on September 11th, totally cheap.
I should totally have gone to the Rockstar taping on like that. I should have gone to the finale. Damn, why didn't I think about that? Well, I'm going on the 9th and the 10th. Maybe that's close enough to the terrifying September 11th flight time. That's so great. Not that it's great. That's the wrong way to put it. I'm saying it's financial lemonade out of terrorism lemons. Maybe there'll be... Well, I guess there wasn't, though, because we're paying like... Do you know how much she paid? Less,
no.
Though, than it would normally be?
Yes.
I don't mind paying. We're paying like between 5 and 6 for that. I mean, because we're idiots, so, and because I did the idiotic thing of just giving a lot of my credit card and going, just book it, I don't care, which is, like, the worst thing I could possibly have said. Well, I'm already, man.
Well, you're already in. I mean, there's no use thinking about it now.
No, I'm flying down on the morning of the 9th, September 9th, coming back. I'm coming back. I mean, it will be September 11th, depending on the time zone. I will be coming back the night of September 10th, so... I may be in the air on September 11th, depending on how one views it. So I'm already getting preemptively angry about the strip search or whatever at the airport anyway. Anyway, why the upcoming Katie Couric? Why always the Katie? Do people really watch CBS News? Does anyone really care? Is Katie Couric that good at reading a teleprompter? Sarah was on the news. She will know. Thanks, Kelly. Sarah?
I have no idea.
All right, there you go. Thanks. Thanks for weighing in.
But I did see Coin for the first time since I quit this morning, and it's just the guy who was the anchor and like three new blonde girls.
Fantastic.
And that's it.
just a lonely guy pushing a broom and occasionally stopping to point at the traffic map. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a man with a knife wearing nylons over his face robbed a Chevron gas station last night. Around 11:30, the gas attendant was in the office when he just finished counting his money for the night when the suspect opened the office door, holding a large knife and demanding the money. The victim gave the suspect approximately $2,000, and the victim took off. This, according to the Gladstone Police Department, police searching the area found the knife and nylons near the gas station that later located a man matching the suspect description, playing video poker instead of High Rocks Pub and Steakery.
Steakery sounds like, I don't know, steakery sounds like some sort of a class that you would take somewhere, like a martial arts of some kind.
So this fellow was identified as 25-year-old Nicholas Anthony Sparlin, who has a history of identity theft, possession of controlled substances, and theft, and is currently on probation in Clackamas County. He's been arrested on probation violation, theft, and robbery.
I don't mean to mock anybody and their lifestyle choices, but first of all, do any of us here play video poker? But let's hope the answer is no.
No.
Thank you.
My friend won $300 on it last night.
Really?
Though. Mm-hmm.
You know, Clyde plays a lot of video poker.
I'm not a gambler.
Sarah, I want to know, by the way, Sarah is holding now. Sarah has just opened and is holding up a huge knife in the studio.
I found this on my bike ride on the way.
Attention, Laura Klein in Human Resources.
At least there aren't any nylons.
This is an uncomfortable work environment as of now. Sarah is holding up a big knife.
No, I just want to show you how cool
it was. May I see this?
Yeah.
Where did you get this knife?
On my bike ride down Madison today. I ran over it, actually, on my bike.
This was in the street?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fairly sharp knife right there. This is cool. It's like a stainless steel knife.
Cool looking.
And you know what makes it especially cool is that you're wearing a tank top, and so guys just think Linda Hamilton. Guys think Linda Hamilton, T2, or maybe a Sigourney Weaver, Aliens. You know, like hot chick tank top night.
I don't know what to do with it. I think it's kind of cool, but
yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to give that back to you there, and I'm going to let you decide. Don't give it to Will in engineering. He's got too many knives as it is.
Okay.
I'm already thinking about all the stuff I carry around on a daily basis that are not going to let me to carry. For once, I mean, it almost has had the intended effect, all of this retarded crap at the airport, that I may, before I leave the house, I may actually sit and go through all of my pockets and all of my everything so that I don't have to be wanded and probed and prodded and skewered. Yeah, by some minimum wage guy with a gun. Here's Tim Riley.
A man has been arrested on a charge of impersonating a police officer during a fake traffic stop in which he handcuffed a teenage driver. This happened in Canby. The man was wearing a shirt that read, Undercover Police. Under arrest is 27-year-old
really?
David Leninger. Yes, accused of kidnapping as well.
That's like being probed by a guy whose shirt says, Amateur Gynecologist.
Huh?
Jesus God. Who lets a... Okay,
this
look.
This is Canby. Clackamas County.
It's as smart as they can be. I understand that if you're an idiot and you think that that shirt is funny, I can't understand being a guy who gets... If you are pulled over by a guy who is wearing a T-shirt that says, Undercover Police Officer... Never mind. Never. I'm not going to waste my energy on people in Canby. Go back to work at the Welch factory.
Here's Tim Riley.
Should I save the Kira Phillips story for later?
Yeah, well, we're going to do, here's, and just so everybody knows, here's what's coming up. Scott Daly and Aaron Duran will be here in the 2 o'clock hour. So we will do some news in 2, but we're going to do more news than we normally would next hour. So the 1 p.m.
Why is
hour.
That?
Because we like the news.
Oh.
And because the 2 o'clock hour is going to have, it's going to be a lot of geek stuff. As it often is on Fridays, the 2 o'clock hour is going to be, with guys in the studio and it's only so many microphones to go around. So if you want to put that up, we might do that the next hour. I know we have a lot of watches.
Oh, it's
going to
be Aaron and
too.
Scott?
Aaron and Scotty.
Oh, boy.
Scott. Anyway, so that's coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. But so next hour, the news breaks will probably be a little longer than they would normally be. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, if you work at Intel and waiting for the pink slip, you're not going to get it. They're going to do it the new fashion way.
Email?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Good times.
So I guess thousands of Intel employees may soon lose their jobs, so that's a hard
one. What does the email say? And do they email... Here's a question. Do they email you on your company account, which you can then... And is it then immediately turned off so you can't do anything? Because you know that whole thing of like you...
It'd be great if they gave you a Starbucks coupon or something.
Yes, here's... Bye. You are fired, but if you'd like for your member to be larger, here's a little website you can go to. If you'd like to have a 36-hour arousal period. Was it here? No, it was Entercom. We were at Entercom, and they fired somebody, and I honestly can't remember who. But they fired somebody at Entercom. They had her in the office, and they were given the whole, it's not working out speech. And she got out of the office. That's going to bug me now. Who was it? Who got fired while we were at Intercom?
There were thousands of people that got fired while we were at Intercom.
No, that's a fair point. Hey, I found out who the Charlie girl is, by the way. We were talking about Intercom yesterday.
I thought you already identified
yeah,
her.
Yeah, we already talked about
it. We talked about this off the air.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty...
I think it was on the air.
Was it on the air?
Yeah.
That it was Clyde Psychic? It was Clyde Psychic?
Yes.
Luna Moon.
That was in a segment in the past.
Was that not... That was. I knew we were in the studio, but I didn't think we had actually been on the air at that point.
I believe so.
But they had gone through so many promo people while we were there. But there was one of the promo... It might have been a promo
Jesse,
person.
No, because Jesse left.
It wasn't her. There was somebody. It was some woman they fired while we were there. And they had her in the office. And it was... And the door was shut. And you could just see from the body language where the manager is... The manager is crossing his arms and leaning back in the chair, like sort of a preemptive don't attack me kind of a thing. And then the woman is just looking at her shoes and weeping silently. And then, you see a lot of lips moving, and it's a whole lot of, you know, cutting back. And just come back a little later, and it's like a streamlining. And she leaves the office. I can't even remember how I know this now, but somebody told me. And she went back to her desk to type out the... Dear friends, and I have enjoyed working in Intercom. And literally, though, her email was turned off by the time she got back to her desk. Which is the worst part. That's I guess the worst part is the firing itself and the being homeless and the having no money. But up there is when you walk back to your desk and your email has already been turned off, because that means that everybody in the building knew but you. That means that the engineers knew, the IT people knew, human resources, and everybody's been smiling at you in the hallway for like 10 days, knowing that you're just a walking dead woman. Here's Tim Riley.
How about a penis watch?
How about that penis watch right here on a Friday? Yeah, the Rick and Rick's Radio Program. Thank you.
My enormous penis, and my troubles start a melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
Well, a man has been awarded $91,600 after a necessary radiation treatment at a private hospital left him with a 1 centimeter stump or penis.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is, by the way, we should note that this is a news story from where?
China, I believe.
This is a news story. It's a medical story we're reading. Can be public interest, convenience, and necessity.
Mm-hmm. A 43-year-old man surnamed Lin.
Stump.
Visited the hospital complaining of inflammation of his penis last September. Doctors, I can't read.
Those sounds are worth the price of admission right there.
This is the lunch.
Okay, it's almost over.
Okay,
let's make it over now. Actually,
okay, guys, why don't you cross your legs?
By
right
reading
now,
this, we are ending the lunch hour for everyone.
I'll read this quickly. Doctors removed Lin's foreskin, but told him he had prostate problems that would require a 1 hour of shortwave radiation treatment.
Why would you let someone radiate your genitals?
I don't know. This is communist medicine. After the treatment, his penis was burnt black and covered in blisters.
Oh.
He then had treatment in another hospital, but doctors were unable to save the organ, and Lin was left with a 1 centimeter stump after the dead tissue was cut away.
Okay.
And
speaking of away, you got to put that knife away.
It was only left in a microwave for 20 minutes.
They didn't use the proper. They didn't use that little silver crisping tray.
Can you hear that little ding at the end?
Wait until last kernel is popped. Wait until pops come 20 seconds apart. Yes. You know what they did? They forgot to poke the little holes in the top.
Before. And Lin said his happiness will never return.
Well, you can't spell happiness without penis.
Take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start a melting away.
Gold, Jerry.
I take a look at my enormous penis.
Sarah now has the knife open and is balancing the blade on the countertop.
You're going to make HR come in here.
Well, I don't think they'd want to come here at this moment. I think they'd get some security.
I'm just twirling
first.
It. I've never had a knife.
Twirling a knife sounds like the beginning of one of those stories that we talk about. And then we will be like on the Doug and Skippy show tomorrow. And they'll be going, just some Danny DJs who are twirling a knife on the air. Dylan 25 is now blind. Let's do one more, then we'll break. We'll come back.
Thanks, knife scared me.
All right. Put it over here with me. Tim, would you like a knife?
Oh, no, thank you.
Okay.
I don't live in that type of neighborhood anymore. The start of R&B music star R. Kelly's child pornography trial has been put on hold once again. Kirk County, Illinois Judge Vincent Graham rescheduled the pretrial hearing yesterday, setting October 13th as the new start date in order to give lawyers more time to provide discovery. He was indicted in 2002 and faces child porn charges for allegedly videotaping himself having sex with a girl who prosecutors believe was underage at the time.
Yeah, right. There you go. Let's take a break. Here's what's coming up. Jim Roop will be joining us. Sarah Dillon's Band-Aid. We have the Onion Radio News presents George W. Bush's weekly radio address. We have the Weekend Geek. We'll talk some Popeil. Probably go back to the Farmer's Almanac because it's what we do. Later on, Aaron Duran from GeekInTheCity.com and Scott Dally from FilmFeverRadio.com will be here to talk about Hollywoodland and television shows on DVD that you really ought to see. As Kurt Loder would say, you stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.